Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tributes to loved ones lost during wartime are being preserved online in a special New Zealand memorial. The Auckland War Memorial Museum has been running the online cenotaph for nearly 30 years. It's a vast collection of old photos, beloved memories, diaries and records supplied by the public for all to access, from family members to historians and, of course, academics. People can even leave a digital copy for those who've passed on. Victoria Passauer is the collection manager for the online cenotaph and joins me in the Auckland studio now. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
And apologies for mispronouncing your name earlier.
No worries.
I wanted to start with one of the messages that's recently been left on the online cenotaph from a woman called Tanya. I think you've got it there?
Yes.
How does it read?
Sorry. That's so right. Memories of Koro Dan, our Papa Wiri's brother. Whānau remember him as humorous, witty, and with lots of love for his whānau. They both say he and his brothers were big men, just like their dad, Waha. Hands were the size of a dinner plate. His mum went with him to enlist. His loss was devastating. His mum and whānau posted touching tributes in the New Zealand Herald for a number of years. In 1943, our mum was born and she was named Libya to remember where he fell in battle. That name continues through our family. One of mum's mokopuna now has her name. It's a gift to our family and reminds us to treasure his memory. He was loved. He was important. He is special. Mum always wanted to visit him in Egypt. One of us will honour that wish for her, for his brothers and sisters, his mum, dad and whānau. Aroha mutunga kore.
Which is kind of beautiful, and I guess what this whole project is all about.
Yes. So Online Cenotaph, as you said, started in 1996, and it consists of about 267,000 records.
Wow.
From the South African wars to today. Our strength is sort of up into the Vietnam War, so First World War, Second World War, Korea, Borneo, Malaya, and that's basically based on privacy and public records.
Right.
So we get lots of information from the Defence Force, Archives New Zealand, and a huge amount from researchers and military associations. So lots of military associations maintain their own roles.
Really?
And people military records, personnel, yeah. And then they provide those to us.
Yeah.
And then about 10 years ago, the Ministry for Culture and Heritage and Lotteries provided us with some funding to enable the public to add information into those records. Mm. And we've added, information to that day. So there's the source record of the museum, and then there's the public record that people can add in information directly.
Great.
Yeah.
What sort of stuff do you get the public sending in?
So people can upload photos. So there's been about 100,000 images uploaded in that time. And then around about 30,000 notes, and then data can be added so that people can add dates of birth, dates of death, information about their post-war occupation, or just details about their lives. And it just means that the primary source that can just be very military focused is brought to life by people's personal memories and stories.
That's the thing, eh? It's the sort of not just focusing on in a military sense, but in the broader kind of context of it. Was this the I know that you went overseeing the project at the beginning in the late 90s, mid-90s. But was this the vision, or has it grown into something much bigger and broader?
It's definitely grown. Initially, it was a role of honour for those who died in active service during World War One and World War Two, and then it included people could add information and records by the museum, then that had increased to include all those who served living and deceased. And so Cenotaph is a little bit of a misnomer. It is for currently living veterans and active service personnel as well.
Who uses it?
So there's lots of different communities. I just wrote an article with somebody from Victoria University, Chern Lee Liu, and it was about social cohesion and figuring out who uses our online cenotaph. And that we figured out that it was whānau who might have connection to one or two records, and then we'll have military researchers who will download entire data sets to be able to do research. And then there'll be people, like we've worked with people from, again, from Victoria University who are doing some Māori land court research, and they've been able to download the data set to be able to match against their information to see if they can connect to iwi Māori personnel. Yeah.
Gee. That's, yeah. Because I guess when I first read about this, I thought, man, this must be really cool and is sort of an historical source for historians and academics and so on and so forth. But the more that I thought about it and the more that I talked to the team about it, actually, it struck me that it could be really, really meaningful for individuals and for families as well, especially as time goes on and new generations come through for whom their ancestors who might have fought in wars are one or two generations past and who don't necessarily have an image or an idea in their kind of mind.
Yeah, my colleague said today that we are now mourning the passing of the children of those who served. And so, yeah, that is really significant. You'll see notes that are added every year to records to say, miss you, I never met you, but I just want to acknowledge you. And so it's a space for people online to be able to do that. And it is a public acknowledgement where oftentimes overseas those resources won't be freely available, but these are freely available to the public to be able for people to be able to reconnect to their histories that may possibly have just been lost over the space of time.
Exactly. And I guess it's the massive advantage, and one of the wonderful things that technology can do is there is a space to preserve this stuff, right?
Yeah, and oftentimes, especially for more recent conflicts, oftentimes whānau maintaining the taonga and the physical material that might go into a museum one day, but they're keeping those at home or on the marae or wherever. And so now we have the ability for conflicts that haven't been researched so well or don't have a lot of physical resources, that digital element means that you can still figure out and find out information about that service and that person's life.
You yourself, do you have a connection to wartime service in your family?
Yeah, on both sides. My dad's side, two of his great uncles died in the First World War. One of the brothers returned home. And then on my mum's side, her grandfather served in World War One. And then during my research, I figured out, because he worked for the Union Steamship Company, he was a Merchant Navy person. And so he was a merchant seaman and served in World War Two in his later life, you know, 40 or 50. Mum didn't know that. So that was interesting to be able to find that information for my own family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be quite poignant in that case, from your point of view, reading through some of this material that, you know, applied to you and your family's history and story.
Yes, and I mean, even looking at the address of my great-grandfather was my mum's address. They lived in the same house, and it's literally three streets away from where my parents currently live. So, and also we have, we still have the batch that he built in the 1930s that we go to. So there's real, and that was the address that he put down in when he served in the First World War. So, you know, all those connections are really important. But, you know, like that's not, online cenotaph isn't exclusively for people who whakapapa to the thing. So we sort of connect with students, understand if they are migrants, they can find information about their area or their suburb or maybe about where other people who might be from where they're from, who served in New Zealand Forces.
People can also lay a poppy for those who've passed on, which is a really lovely touch. And that's something that people really actually do, right?
Yeah, so we get about 5,000 laid a month.
Wow, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And I think sometimes people feel like there's an internal pressure to have to add something, and they may not have anything to add or an image to upload or a note, but they can just do that as a small gesture to acknowledge that person that they're reading about. And it's sort of just sending a bit of a mihi to them through the ether, really. And poppies can't be laid on people who are living, but they can be laid on those who have passed.
It's a great initiative. nearly 30 years old. Wow, that is really, really amazing. Where can people go to find out more?
So they can go to Auckland Museum's website, or they can't. We're pretty good on Google, so you could search a person's name and search online cenotaph, and that'll probably give you a hit.
Great stuff. Victoria Passar, thanks so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.